my friends. Today we continue our discussion of the important subject, God's Bible landmarks. When God erects a landmark, man has no right to remove it. Those who do are not honest before God. The broad scope of honesty demands honesty toward self, others, and preeminently toward our Maker in heaven. Those who seek only to be honest toward self and others have omitted one of the major ingredients of honesty, that is, honesty toward God. This is why removing His divine landmarks, the great biblical doctrines, is of such grave importance. God's landmarks are revealed to us very clearly in the Bible. Who erected the landmark of how many churches should Jesus build? God did. In His book it is said, "And other sheep I have which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, that they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd." John 10:16. At Caesarea Philippi, Christ declared, "And I say also unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven." Matthew 16:18-19. Jesus said, "I will build my church." Not churches in the plural, but church, singular. In Ephesians 1:22-23, Paul identified the body as the church. In Ephesians 4:4, he declared among the great unities of the Spirit that there is one body. He makes the same affirmation in Colossians 1:18-24 and makes the matter very clear in 1 Corinthians 12:20 when he said, "But now are they many members, yet one body." My friends, who erected the landmark relative to the time of the establishment of Christ's church? God did, not man. The Bible says, "And He said unto them, Verily I say unto you, there are some of them that stand here who shall in no wise taste of death till they see the kingdom of God come with power." Mark 9:1. Here we learn that the kingdom was to come with power, and that during the lifetime of some then present when this discourse was initially given. Shortly before His ascension, Jesus said, "But ye shall receive power, after that the Holy Spirit is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and all Judea and in Samaria, and unto the uttermost parts of the earth." Acts 1:8. Here we learn that the Spirit and the power were to come together. Hence the kingdom, power, and Spirit would all come at the same time. If we can ascertain when the Spirit came, then we can be sure that at that very time, the kingdom, the church of our Lord, was begun on earth. The beloved physician Luke supplies the answer in the opening verse of Acts 2 when he said, "And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire, and it set up on each one of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance." Here in this record of Acts is the very beginning of the kingdom of God on this earth, the church of our Lord. It had its beginning on Pentecost of Acts the 2nd chapter. This is another one of God's marvelous landmarks. It does not belong to man, it belongs to God. My friends, who erected the landmark of conditions of entrance into the Lord's church? The Lord did, not man. Man often offers salvation on the terms of his own choosing. But God, not they, possess the prerogative of this important matter. The Lord adds the saved to His church. Men frequently offer salvation by faith only. God's landmark says that it is not by way at all. "You see how that by works a man is justified, and not by faith only," declared James in chapter 2, verse 24. God erected the landmark of hearing the gospel. So then faith comes of hearing, and hearing by the word of God, Romans chapter 10, verse 17. God erected the landmark of faith. He said, I said therefore unto you that ye shall die in your sin. For if ye believe not that I am he, ye shall die in your sins. John 8:24. In Hebrews 11:6, it is said, without faith, man cannot please God. Faith is made mandatory in the gospel scheme of human redemption, as it declared in Mark 16:16, when Jesus said, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. Beloved, God erected the landmark of repentance. Jesus said, I tell you nay, but except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. Luke 13:3. God erected the landmark of confessing Christ as the Son of God, as you read in Romans 10:9-10. God made mandatory the immersion of an alien sinner in water for unto the remission of sins. The apostle writes, know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? Therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. Romans 6:3-4. Peter informed the inquiring believers on Pentecost, repent ye and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Acts 2:38. To the household of Cornelius, Peter said, can any man forbid water that these should not be baptized who have received the Holy Spirit as well as we? And he commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord. Acts 10:47-48. Be it firmly resolved and remembered forever that these are God's landmarks, not man's. Ladies and gentlemen, as we consider this important question, God's landmarks of the Bible, may I ask, who erected the landmarks of Christian worship? That is but one answer, God, not man. True worship is to be performed in the Spirit and in truth, to be directed to God, and to honor God and to respect God. The Bible says, but the hour cometh and now is when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and truth. For such doth the Father seek to be his worshipers. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and truth. John 4:22-24. There are three things about this ancient Bible landmark which must be observed. One, Jesus referred to the true worshipers, implying, of course, that there are false worshipers. Who are false worshipers? The Bible answers, are you listening? According to the Bible landmark, those who worship according to the doctrines and precepts of men rather than abiding in the doctrine of Christ, God's Bible landmark. Such would be vain worship. Listen and let us read this landmark. Matthew 15:8-9, Jesus said, but in vain do they worship me, teaching as thy doctrines the precepts of men. But again, let's read God's landmark. Whosoever goeth onward and abideth not in the teaching of Christ hath not God. He that abideth in the teaching, the same hath both the Father and the Son. 2 John 9. The conclusion are inevitable. For one to worship according to God's landmark, the Word of God, is to be a true worshiper. To remove or reject God's landmark and worship according to the doctrines and precepts of men is to engage in vain worship, false worship, the opposite, of course, of true worship. 2. God's Bible landmarks declare that acceptable worship must be in spirit and truth. The truth is the Word of God, God's ancient landmark, John 17:17. Jesus said, ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free, John 8:32. God's ancient landmark of truth determines whether or not worship is vain worship or true worship. And 3. The spirit of the worshiper is a vital part of the landmark. To worship in spirit is to pour feelings and emotions out to God, our Heavenly Father. Habitual and legal observance of laws and regulations do not necessarily constitute worshiping in spirit. Acts of worship, even commanded by God, regardless of regularity, must be done in all sincerity from the heart with a meaningful purpose to please God and to strengthen the soul. And now, 4. Worship according to God's landmark is a must. The divine landmark reads, must worship in spirit and in truth. Beloved, are we abiding by these landmarks? What constitutes this worship? According to Ephesians 5:19, singing is a part. Acts 2:42, praying. Teaching, Acts 20:7. Partaking of the Lord's Supper on the first day of the week, Acts 20:7. And 1 Corinthians 11:20-34. Contributing of our material means to support the gospel of Christ, 1 Corinthians 16:1-2. These are God's landmarks. They do not belong to man. Let him leave them intact as Almighty God gave them, because they are God's landmarks. Who erected the landmark of the mission of the church? God did. We read about this great work in such passages as Matthew 28:19-20, Mark 16:15-16, Luke 24:46-49, James 1:27, Galatians 6:10, and others. Listen to these words. Go ye therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them into the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end. Beloved, who erected the names his church should collectively wear? God did. Churches of Christ are spoken of by name in Romans 16:16. The church of God is referred to in 1 Corinthians 1:1, 1 Timothy 3:15. The body of Christ is spoken of in 1 Corinthians 12:27. The kingdom of Christ and God finds expression in Ephesians 5:5. May I ask, who erected the names his children as individuals should wear? Again, the answer, God. Allow man his choice in this realm, and he will wear almost any kind of a human religious title that you can think of. But in Bible times, God erected the name Christian. Acts 11:26, chapter 26:28, 1 Peter 4:16. They are called brethren in Galatians 6:1 and disciples in Acts 9:1. They are saints in Romans 1:7. Children of God in Galatians 3:26. God's royal and holy priesthood, 1 Peter 2:5-9. All of these landmarks came from divine wisdom, God's landmark. Man had better not tamper with them. Beloved, God has erected a strict and absolute landmark of morality. Advocates of the new morality and practitioners of situation ethics are seeking to remove the ancient landmarks of Bible morality. Who erected the moral landmarks of Romans 13:9, 1 Corinthians 6:9-10, Galatians 5:19-20, Revelation 21:8? God did. Man, including religious leaders, had better not tamper with God's clearly revealed and divinely authorized system of morality. This landmark belongs to God and not to man. My friends, are you listening? Remove not the ancient landmark. Each one belongs to deity. Man is not the owner or originator of a single landmark of Bible doctrine. Therefore, man has not the first right to remove any of them or to tamper with them in any way whatsoever. Our business is to accept, defend, and love these ancient landmarks, not tamper with them, not reject them. Unfortunately, many pride themselves on their honesty and integrity toward earthly landmarks, but think nothing about removing heavenly imposed landmarks. Such people are not entirely honest, I say. Honesty points three directions: toward self, toward others, and toward heaven. Let no one tamper with God's Bible landmarks. Let's be honest about it.